And welcome to the Rick House. Folks, my name is Cyrus Farmer. You are watching and listening to the Stomp the Tea podcast. And let me tell you a little bit about what you're going to hear tonight. We have a big show planned for you. We're going to be talking about a couple things. Number one, we're going to be talking about the tremendous new Netflix documentary, America's Team. This is focused on Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to get into it. I'll tell you my thoughts on it. It's a documentary series. Definitely, spoiler alert, must watch. And we'll also be getting into the AFC preview going into the season, which starts tomorrow night. We're recording this on Wednesday night, so by the time most of you see this, it will be literally Thursday and the start of the NFL season, Eagles-Cowboys in Philadelphia. But we'll do the preview of the American Football Conference and give you our picks about division winners and conference representatives moving on from there. We're also going to talk a little bit about what is your menu going to be for the kickoff Sunday coming up in a few short days from now. I mean, look, to me, this weekend is really kind of like the kind of version of Super Bowl weekend. It's almost like a national holiday. What are you going to eat? What have you got planned? What are you thinking about having? I'll tell you my menu, and I'd love to hear about yours. So let's get on with the show. With that, folks, I got to tell you, this documentary, America's Team, I think it's called The Gambler and His Cowboys. I think that's the subtitle for the documentary series. Folks, I didn't know anything about this a couple of days ago, but I happened to be listening to the opening drive with Solomon Wilcott and Todd Haley. And they were talking about watching this documentary series on Netflix and how much they just ate it up, how much they enjoyed it. So credit to Solomon Wilcott, credit to Coach Todd Haley. You know, I hadn't been on Netflix for a little while. You know, I'm just kind of bouncing around watching different things. But I went on Netflix, I took a look at the series, and folks, I got to tell you, it is a tremendous watch. It is completely worth your time. If you have the opportunity, watch this documentary series. It's 8 parts. Each episode is about an hour. And it literally gives you the history of the Cowboys right before Jerry Jones purchased them, his whole tenureship of ownership of the Dallas Cowboys. And when you watch this docuseries, you kind of start to understand why the Dallas Cowboys are so omnipresent and why their fan base is what it is, because so much of their fan base, not all of it, but so much of their fan base in 2025 is based on what those teams did in the 1980s, winning 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, big personalities, tons of drama, highs and lows, legendary players, legendary games. So when you watch it, you learn so much about these Cowboys and the franchise, and you learn things you didn't know, and you remember things that you had forgotten. Folks, they talk to everyone in this docuseries. They talk to Emmitt, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Jimmy, Jerry. They talk to Deion, of course, Deion Sanders, Charles Haley. They even talk to Steve Young, Jerry Rice. They talk to Steve Berline, who was a backup quarterback in 1991. And they talked to Herschel Walker, who was obviously traded to get this whole championship run started with the 90s Cowboys. It is absolutely tremendous. They do a really, really good job, not only in the interviews, but also lending perspective and context to what was happening and why. And they don't leave very much out. You know, they talk about Jerry and Jimmy the feud. They talk about the bad lack of success post-Jimmy Johnson. They talk about Michael Irvin and some of the drug use. They talk about Eric Williams and, you know, the car wrecks. And they talk about these renegade Cowboys that happened throughout the 90s. They talk to Barry Switzer. It is tremendous. It is chock full of information that is very easy to watch and digest. I'm telling you, folks, if you haven't seen it already, watch the show. You will not be disappointed. I don't care whether you love the Cowboys or hate the Cowboys. It is an excellent, tremendous watch. So I'm telling you, I couldn't recommend it higher. It is really, really worth your time. I got through it in like 2.5 days, just going episode after episode. It's completely a great way to open up the 2025 football season, kind of whet your appetite to what is to come for what I think is going to be a tremendous football season. Now, when you watch this documentary, one of the things that you learn, and this is really just my opinion, but I think it's pretty well stated throughout the documentary. Michael Irvin was essentially the heart and soul of that these Cowboys team. He was the first one of the triplets to arrive. He was drafted 7th overall in 1988 draft. He's the only member of the triplets who actually played for Tom Landry. Michael Irvin was there in Landry's last season. Jerry doesn't buy. Remember, Jerry doesn't buy the team until February of 1989. And Jimmy gets hired, you know, obviously for the 1989 season. But Michael Irvin, he had played for Jimmy Johnson, obviously, as a Miami Hurricane. Won a national championship, I think, in 1987 with the Hurricanes. And he went into the league, Michael Irvin, as a Cowboy, but he was the first one there of what was going to be a dynasty a few short years later. So Michael Irvin, when it turns out, he's kind of the heart and soul of that whole nice team, for better or for worse, because he plays so hard. He's such a big personality. He's so competitive. He kind of puts everybody else where they need to be, mentally and physically, to get some of the things accomplished that they actually got done during those tremendous years. I got to tell you, it's funny because if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, remember they won the Super Bowl, I believe they won 1992, 93, the Niners won in 94, and then the Cowboys won again in 95, right? Those seasons. So they won 92, 93, and 95. It's really, really interesting because they drafted the triplets in successive years. Irvin was drafted in 1988, 11th overall. Aikman was drafted in 1989, number one overall. And Emmitt Smith was drafted in the 1990 draft, 17th overall. So literally, you get bang, 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 those three players all in a row. Jimmy Johnson was controlling the draft from 1989 on, obviously in consultation with Jerry Jones. More on that later. Long story short, when you think about a guy like Aikman, it's so interesting. You look at this guy. Yes, we know he won 3 Super Bowls. Yes, we know he wasn't a prolific passer because he didn't have to be. Yes, we know he had pinpoint accuracy. All of that is true. But folks, this point has been made before on numerous occasions, and I'm going to make it again tonight. Do you know that Troy Aikman, in his 12-year career, never threw for 3,500 yards in a season? Think about that. Troy Aikman never threw for 3,500 yards in a season. He threw, Troy Aikman, for 20 touchdowns once in his 12-year career. I think he had 23 somewhere during that Super Bowl run. Everything else was 19 or less. The guy is in the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. He was a great representative, most importantly, for those Dallas Cowboys, when they needed someone like Troy Aikman to kind of be the face of the team. But it is very strange when you look at Hall of Fame credentials to think about what Troy Aikman's numbers actually look like compared to our memories of how he played and performed when given the opportunity in the National Football League. You know who he reminds me of? Yes, it's true. It reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts, but more on that later. Anyway, so 1991 season. This is the second episode of the documentary. Guys, it's 8 episodes long, and this is episode 2. And I'm just going to give you some of the highlights of this, and then you can watch the rest of the series. When you watch this story unfold, 1991 season, it's Aikman's third year. The Cowboys are kind of finally starting to put things together. They've had, this is Emmitt's second year. And, you know, they're all kind of coming together. They bring Norv Turner in to run the offense, and everything starts to click. The talent starts to rise to the top. They start to show themselves as these young lines who could potentially cause a problem moving forward to the rest of the league. Now, what happens? They go into, I think the Cowboys were 6-5 in week 12 of the NFL season, and they go into Washington to play the, I believe, reigning Super Bowl, no, not reigning Super Bowl champs, but they're going to play the Washington, then Washington Redskins, who were 11-0 at the time. They play the game. Aikman gets hurt. Steve Berline, who was the backup quarterback, ends up going in to finish the game and wins the game for the Cowboys. Now, Aikman, I think he had some kind of knee issue. I forget what it was. It was like, I think his knee hyperextended when he got rolled up on, essentially. So I don't know if it was an MCL or patella, whatever it was. But he was going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. What does Berline do? With a huge win in the season, kind of announcing that the Cowboys have arrived, Berline goes out and wins the next 4 games in addition to the game against Washington. So they end the season on a 5-game win streak, all under Steve Berline, even though Troy Aikman was healthy enough to play the last game of the season. And Troy wanted to play the last game of the season so he could actually knock some of the rust off before the playoffs in week one. Jimmy said, Troy, we're going to rest you one more week, try to get you even healthier before we go into the playoffs. Troy says, okay, fine. What happens? Jimmy Johnson starts Steve Berline in the wild card game against Chicago in Chicago, which the Cowboys win 17-13. Folks, if you live in Philadelphia or if you're an Eagles fan, when you watch all of this go down, you cannot help but think about Carson Wentz and the 2017 Eagles. I mean, it is literally history coming before history that happened, potentially. Because Berline basically does exactly the same thing that Nick Foles did when Carson Wentz got hurt in that 2017 season. The only difference is he doesn't win the Super Bowl. Nick Foles does. And Carson Wentz was never the same. Never the same. That could have happened to Troy Aikman, but it didn't. You know, they talked to Emmitt Smith about, you know, the Berline Troy Aikman situation. And Emmitt says, you know, I felt bad for Troy. He said, you know, I got the ball more when Berline was playing. So, you know, it was kind of a watch for Emmitt. So that sounds like Emmitt. Anyway, long story short, the 1991 Cowboys, after winning that wild card weekend game against Chicago, in Chicago, they move on to the divisional round to play the Detroit Lions in Detroit. And they end up getting thumped. I think they lost, what was the score? 38-6. Berline starts the game, loses the game, and to add salt into the wounds, Jimmy Johnson decides to put Troy Aikman in for mop-up duty in a 38 playoff game loss. Humiliating for someone like Troy Aikman, obviously. And look, let's be fair. Troy played well that year and was really starting to come into his own. Had he been healthy enough to start that last game of the season and then play against Chicago, who knows if they lose to Detroit in that divisional round. All I know is this. Detroit won 38-6, but the great Barry Sanders was the best player on the team, obviously. But that was a team that was quarterbacked by Eric Kramer and coached by Wayne Fonts. So you tell me, if Aikman starts the last game of the season and gets a chance to knock off the rust against the Chicago Bears in wildcard weekend, do they beat the Detroit Lions in Detroit that next week? Who knows? Would have been interesting to see, though. Folks, they talk in the documentary. This is all in the second episode, by the way. They talk in the documentary about acquiring Charles Haley, who is tremendous in the documentary. Boy, oh boy, is Charles Haley good? I mean, he talks about, you know, they tell some of the legendary stories about Charles Haley. Charles Haley, you know, apparently was bipolar And he had these episodes where he would just literally turn into a different person. Great, great, great football player. Tremendous football player. But not the kind of guy whose feelings you would want to hurt or whose toes you would want to step on while he was in his playing days having a bipolar episode, because you might end up in the hospital. He was a very violent man. So that being said, but he's great in the documentary. They talk about, Jerry gives a quote before they go into acquiring a Charles Haley. And Jerry says, fallen individuals are some of my greatest role models. It is tremendous. Charles Haley is nothing if not a fallen individual. So they talk about everything that he does and he did while as a cowboy to help contribute to the dynasty. Now, this docuseries, America's Team, it is just as engrossing as The Last Dance, the docuseries about the Chicago Bulls, 1990s Chicago Bulls, during their six-peat, you know, the double three-peat runs. It is just fascinating, but it's fascinating in a different way, because with a guy like Michael Jordan, he is a flawed individual, without question. But, you know, he was obsessive. He wasn't a great guy to be around all the time. But he is largely perceived, accurately so, as the ultimate winner, both on the court and off. Michael Jordan, it doesn't get much better than Michael Jordan as far as like being a winner is concerned. That's why most people still consider him the greatest basketball player ever to play. He hasn't played in 30 years. The difference between The Last Dance and America's Team is that America's Team focuses on Jerry Jones being kind of determined over the course of 8 episodes to win a championship after Jimmy Johnson leaves the Cowboys, because the knock on the Cowboys, and rightly or wrongly, it's proved to be true in some ways, was that those 90s Cowboys that won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, Jimmy was the head coach of the first 2 Super Bowls where they went back to back. They're largely considered Jimmy Johnson's teams. They were built by Jimmy. They were coached by Jimmy. Even the team that won in 1995 had the majority of Jimmy Johnson's fingerprints on that roster. Of course, you add Deion Sanders, and you know that helps make a difference as well. But that seemed to really have stuck in Jerry Jones's craw, so to speak. And I think he was determined to try to win some championship without Jimmy Johnson. And he's been chasing that ghost for decades now with very little success. And that is kind of like the Don Quixote kind of note that you take from this entire series. It's really, really fascinating. Jerry Jones, if you think about it, he has been the owner GM of the Cowboys for almost 4 decades. And like it or not, you can't say that he has not earned enough experience to be considered qualified to be a GM of a football franchise. Now, you can argue whether or not he's good as a GM. Clearly, the results have been not good, generally speaking. Look at the drafts alone since Jimmy left in 1994. The drafts, generally speaking, have been horrible. They've hit here and there, but they have not been good. And they haven't been able to build that team through the draft like they did when Jimmy Johnson was there. But it is fascinating, though, because if you look at NFL history, there were owners in the past who were also coaches. Look at George Halas of the Chicago Bears. Look at Paul Brown, right? These men owned their teams and also coached in the league and were considered some of the most innovative football thinkers in the history of the NFL. The message I get is that Jerry Jones kind of came along at the wrong time. Had he been the owner and GM of the Cowboys in the 40s, 50s, or 60s, he might be one of the legendary figures in the history of the National Football League. And he already is a legendary figure, for better or worse. But he's done so much of his football decision-making, I think, again, pre and post gym, has dealt with it as much with winning as it has with marketing and keeping the Cowboys relevant, that it has gotten in the way, especially after Jimmy left, of him making sound decisions, football decisions, to help his franchise win. And that has been the problem. You know, you can't, football is too complex, today's game, the modern game, it's too complex to have anything but an expertise in football with regard to winning. No other issue can come into play when you're building or running a football team outside of winning, because it is so hard to win in the National Football League. And you can't be thinking about marketing. You can't be thinking about how to make the franchise healthier financially. You can't be thinking about doing this deal and that deal and still build a team, because the margins are so thin between winning and losing that it makes it very, very, very difficult to actually accomplish your ultimate goal, which is winning. That is why I still feel like that Jerry Jones should use a different role model moving forward. Now, he's very honest in the docuseries. He talks about, you know, how he hasn't been able to succeed the way that he's wanted to succeed, especially after Jimmy Johnson. But one of the things that he should consider, Jerry Jones should use George Steinbrenner as a role model. Now, why do I say that? Look at George Steinbrenner. For decades, he was the owner of the New York Yankees, and he had a megaphone that was as big as Staten Island, and he was never afraid to use it. He criticized players, managers, coaches, everyone, anyone. And he praised them as well with his megaphone. But George Steinbrenner always hired people that he felt were competent enough to give him the wins and the championships that he always desired. And when they weren't good enough to do that, he would criticize them. Now, George sometimes had a short leash. George sometimes would go back and forth. George sometimes would find an affinity to certain people and players. Obviously, Reggie Jackson, Billy Martin being a couple of examples. But George was always trying to win, and he put people in position in his organization to deliver him those wins. Now, he would criticize them at the drop of a hat, but he left that to them, the winning, and then held them accountable verbally and in the press. Jerry should consider that model. Now look, folks, understand, I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I could care less if the Cowboys never win another championship as far as I'm concerned. But if you're being fair and if you're being honest, I do believe Jerry Jones wants to win a championship. I just don't believe he can abide having someone else win it while he's the owner of the team. He wants his fingerprints on that. And that, I don't think, is ever going to happen. It's not especially as long as he owns and runs the team. So he should look to George Steinbrenner as a model. That would go a long way towards helping not only him, but the Cowboys. And hopefully he never takes my advice. Anyway, that is the story of America's Teams, folks. Is completely worth watching. Do yourself a favor. Take in an episode here and there. You will not be disappointed. It is, you know, that 90s Cowboys team, just rock stars. I mean, you think about some of the great teams in the history of sports, in the modern era, let's say, right? The 90s Bulls, you know, those 90s Cowboys. The 1980s with the San Francisco 49ers. The 2010 Golden State Warriors, or think about the Showtime Lakers. These are some tremendous teams with big personalities, lots of drama, big egos, Shaq and Kobe, But you are hard-pressed to find a more compelling team with more compelling figures than those in these Cowboys. They were just complete rock stars in every sense of the term. So, America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys from Netflix. Completely, completely enjoyed and recommend you watching it. as well. That is that. Moving on, let's get to the AFC preview. Last week, as you know, we previewed the NFC, and I told you who I thought the playoff teams would be and who the conference champion would be. Now we will do the same with the AFC. So I got to tell you, I think the AFC will be just as competitive as it has always been. It's going to be a really, really good season. It's going to be fascinating. League-wide, but in the AFC in particular. Let's start with the AFC East. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills, surprise, surprise, to win the AFC East. Now, they have a sneaky, tough schedule, the Bills. You know, they have games against the Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks, Bengals, and Eagles, all out of the division. But I think they're going to do enough to win the division. And they should be just fine and easily into the postseason. Right after Buffalo, I have the surprise New England Patriots coming in second in that division. I think with Drake May and Mike Vrabel teaming up together, the Patriots may be on the way to building something. I think they're actually going to be improved. I think they're going to be second in that division. I think, you know, that defense is going to be better. And I think that Stephon Diggs is going to help Drake May in that offense. Vrabel is going to be very conservative, relatively speaking. He's going to take care of the quarterback. But they have enough playmakers for that New England offense to be explosive when it needs to be. And so I really like the Patriots to be second in the AFC East. I'm surprised to say that, but it's true. It's how I feel. Now, I also think that that leaves the New York Jets as the third team in the division. Now, this is not a knock on the Jets per se. I just don't know how Aaron Glenn and his coaching staff are going to use Justin Fields and if they're going to find a way to use him successfully or not. Can they incorporate that receiving core that is basically turned over again with the departure of Aaron Rodgers? And you still have who's the kid from my house state? Garrett Wilson. You still have Garrett Wilson, but I just don't know what the Jets are going to be until I see how they use Justin Fields. So let's see what that looks like. I think they're probably a year away. I think they're going to be better, and I think they have a chance to be decent moving forward. I just don't think they're going to do much better than third this season. Which leaves me with the Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins. Pulling up the rear in fourth in the division. I think the Dolphins could be looking for a new coach by the end of the year, if not before. This has the potential. The Dolphins could just get blown up. Who knows what's going to go on with Tua and Tyreek Hill? Who knows if Tua is going to be able to stay on the field? Who knows if Tyreek and Waddle or any of their defense is going to be able to stay on the field? Miami, for some reason, gets a lot of injuries. It kind of reminds you of the 49ers to a degree. They just can't keep their players on the field for whatever reason. And this could be the season where it all goes away, including Coach Mike McDonald. So we'll see. I don't have very high hopes for the Dolphins, and it's hard for me to see them doing anything this season. But could be wrong. We'll see. In the North, AFC North, which is the most competitive division in football. I am going with the Baltimore Ravens to win the division, followed by the Cincinnati Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cleveland Browns in fourth. Let me talk a little bit about Baltimore. Obviously, is the class of the division. They have everything you need on both sides of the ball to go where they are trying to get to. They are just really built to win and win now. Who knows how long Derrick Henry will be Derrick Henry, but I think he's still going to be Derrick Henry this season. That's all that matters. You can't worry about the future. You have to worry about that. Lamar will continue to take strides. The funny thing about Lamar is every year in the playoffs, he's gotten a little bit less culpable in their losses, which is progress. It's not great, but it's progress. I think that defense is going to be tremendous as always. I think the Ravens are going to be a really, really good football team. I got the Bengals showing up in second place. I think they're going to get off to a better start this year. I don't know what the deal is with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, but I think they're going to play well enough to get a wild card spot, be second in the division, defense notwithstanding. And even their defense, I think, is going to be a little better than it's been the last year and a half or so. I think the Bengals will be fine. Now, if Joe Burrow can't get the Bengals to this playoffs this year, I'm going to have some questions. I mean, I really, really am. He's too good on paper and on the field not to at least make the playoffs. There are seven teams in each conference. Come on. Which leads me to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I can tell you I have them third, but I have them taking the last and seventh playoff berth as a wild card. I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers. Honestly, I think that he is going to have a hard time this season. I don't know if he can make the plays that he needs to make, but we shall see. I just don't see him performing that well this season. I think if Pittsburgh makes the playoffs, and I think they will, it will be largely because of their defense and their running game. I don't feel like there's an abundance of weapons in Pittsburgh on the offensive side of the ball. And maybe that's a good thing for Aaron Rodgers, because that means they don't have to drop him back 50 times a game, which Mike Tomlin and the Steelers would never do anyway. So I got the Pittsburgh Steelers in third. Now, if they make the playoffs, which I think they will, then who knows? All bets are off. Rodgers could turn back the clock and lead that team on a run, which would be highly, highly unlikely, but not impossible. So I have them getting into the playoffs. I just don't think they're better than third in the division. Which leads us to the Cleveland Browns. Folks, I don't know. Cleveland, to me, much like the Saints, the Cleveland Browns have one objective this season, and that does not include winning, unfortunately, for the Cleveland Browns and their fans. They have to figure out if their franchise quarterback is currently on the roster, whether it's Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. They have to find out before next year's draft if one of these two quarterbacks can actually lead this franchise forward. Joe Flacco is a for-now Band-Aid remedy. He may play well, he may not. But Joe Flacco, I doubt, will make it through the season starting as a Cleveland Browns quarterback. Either because he gets hurt or because he doesn't play well. Think about it. He played in Indianapolis. They gave him the starting job in Indianapolis last year. He lasted, what, 6-8 games before they had to put Anthony Richardson in? So, no, I don't think that Joe Flacco is going to be the answer. And I don't think that the Cleveland Browns are going to be doing much winning. But they do have two first-round picks next year's draft, including their own. So if I'm Cleveland, I got to decide one way or another if either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is my quarterback of the future, because then I can really build a team with two first-round picks, which are likely to be very good first-round picks, top 15, two top 15 picks, depending on how they and Jacksonville finish the season. So that's all I'm worried about if I'm Cleveland. You know, keep, as Jalen likes to say, keep the main thing, Cleveland. Worry about whether or not you have to waste one of those number one picks on a quarterback. Anyway, moving on. AFC South. Folks, I have the Texans, Titans, Colts and Jaguars finishing in that order. The Texans, I have to say, is a franchise that I think is actually on the come. It's really easy to kind of forget about the Texans and kind of take the Texans for granted. But I think quietly they're building something that could bear fruit very soon, including this season. This is a team that has won, I think, one playoff game the last 2 years in a row. They're building with a young quarterback and a young defense. Their coach, D'Amico Ryans, has done a very good job. The Texans should get, well, what do they need to do? The Texans need to find a way to get to a championship. If you really want to know what improvement looks like for the Houston Texans, they need to find a way to get to the AFC Championship game. Now, I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that this year, but that would be what improvement looks like. That would be what building something looks like, if we're being honest. Now, I think they're building something. I just don't think they're building that yet. But I do have them winning the division, surprise, surprise, in the AFC South. Now, the second team, I think the Titans, actually, with Coach Callahan and Cam Ward, are going to be very competitive this year. I think they're sneaky good on defense. It'll be interesting to see what Cam Ward does, given the starting reins for that team. That team's not without talent, per se. It's just they haven't had very good play, quarterback play in particular. I think the Titans are going to be second in that division. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think you're going to see signs of hope. And I think Cam Ward is going to have a solid season. And I think he's going to help that franchise. We'll be interested to see how the Titans look this entire season. I think they'll be a fun watch. Third, I have the Indianapolis Colts. Folks, I don't think the Colts are going to be good. I don't think they're going to be bad. I think they're just going to be. The Indianapolis Colts are just kind of one of those middling talent franchises that I think can easily win. They can go 6-9 as easily as they can go. Well, six. They can go 17 games this year. So they could win. They could go 7-10 just as easily as they could go 9-8. So who knows about the Colts? I think Shane Steichen is on borrowed time. He has to find a way to figure things out this year because with the new ownership, with Jim Irsay passing and the ownership being passed down to his daughters, they're going to be looking to get a new regime in there if the Colts can't find a way to make the playoffs. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Look, it's hard to trust Daniel Jones, but Anthony Richardson just isn't ready. And to be fair, Anthony Richardson may never be ready. So you got to go with what you do. And that would be Daniel Jones. But I don't see the Colts doing anything of note this season. And of course, we are left with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Folks, I don't know. Jaguars, there's nothing inspiring to me about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talent-wise, coaching-wise, I don't see it. I'm not in love with Trevor Lawrence. I never has been, especially as a pro. I wish Travis Hunter had gone to a different team. It'd be more interesting to see him on a different roster to kind of see what he can do. But the good thing for Travis Hunter is because the Jaguars are who they are, he's definitely going to get a chance to play both ways this season. But my suspicion is that he will be on one side of the ball or the other by the end of this season. And that is literally what happens when you're on a fourth place division team. So that is the AFC South. Now, let's finish up with the AFC West. I have the places in order with the Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders. Now, until further notice, I believe the Chiefs, obviously, the class of the AFC West. They're going to be pushed. It's going to be a competitive division this year, just as it was last year, but even more so. But I believe the Chiefs will still win the AFC West. I also believe that the road to the Super Bowl from the AFC still runs through Kansas City, for better or worse. I think Denver is going to be a good, strong second place in the West this year. Bo Nix showed some signs last year, and I think that defense is going to be just as good as it was last year, if not better. Sean Payton's done a really good job of bringing that team around, and I think they have a very bright future in Denver. We'll see what happens with their playoff appearance, but I do have them getting another wild card berth this year, and let's see if they can make some progress. It'll be interesting to see if they get a road game or a home game. Obviously, if they're a wild card, they're going to be on the road, but it'll be interesting to see what they do playing some of these teams this year. I'm really into Denver this year. I think they're going to be pretty good. That brings us to the Chargers. Folks, I don't see the Chargers doing much. I'm kind of cold on the Chargers right now. First of all, they can never stay healthy. Look, I know Jim Harbaugh is a good coach, but we're going to find out how good of a coach he is this year. Look, they have to find a way to get Justin Herbert to kind of advance in his career. He's made the playoff a couple of times, has one playoff win, I think two losses. But for all the hearing, for all the hype you hear about Justin Herbert, he should have more success by now. And this is the season where he should actually start to show that success. Justin Herbert needs a couple playoff wins, whether it's a wild card and a divisional, or whether it's a divisional and, you know, a conference championship. He needs to show us a little bit more than he's shown us to this point in his career. Because I don't need to hear about what a great thrower of the ball he is when they are a good team, but not a great team. Show me you're a great team when you're a great thrower of the ball. Then I'll pay attention, right? And that gives us the Raiders, who I think are going to be better. I don't know. I think Ashton Jeanty is going to help them. I'm not sure whether the Raiders are building something or whether they just have different players on their roster. It's really hard to tell. It's hard to trust the Raiders. I don't know what Brady's doing with that team or not. Pete Carroll, he can be the greatest coach in the world, but he is on the clock at 70-plus years old. Who knows how long he can continue. He can actually coach that team. So to me, the Raiders are kind of in limbo. I think they will be better, but I'm just not sure if they're going anywhere, to be absolutely honest. So that is our AFC preview with picks. Now, I have the playoff teams coming out of the AFC being the Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Texans, Chiefs, and Broncos. And I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs will face the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game with the Baltimore Ravens emerging to meet the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 60 in Santa Clara, California. Those are my picks, folks. Hope you enjoyed them. We shall see how right or wrong I was, but they're on record now. Folks, in closing, I do want to talk a little bit about this kickoff Sunday that's coming up. Boy, I can't wait. I'm really, really into the start of the NFL season. And what are you going to be having on your menu? You're going to have chili. You're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers, hoagies, wings. What are you going to have? What are you serving? Look, in my family, as currently constructed, I'm the only one here that watches football. So I don't have to put out some big spread. I can just buy stuff that I want to eat. So what am I going to eat? I'm going to go with a little charcuterie, folks. I'm going to have some meats, cheeses, some olives, pickles, maybe a little bit of a vegetable crudité on the side, like some broccoli, some cauliflower, maybe a couple of dips here and there. Something you could snack on all day, move back and forth to and from the kitchen as we watch all of Sunday football. I'm planning on watching all three games this Sunday, at least portions of them. But I'll probably watch the Giants, Commanders, first game. Second game, everybody in the country is going to be watching Green Bay, Detroit. And then, of course, for the nightcap, I will certainly be looking forward to seeing that Baltimore-Buffalo game. And in honor of those combatants, for a late dinner, I am going to be having wings and crab legs to honor the combatants. That is the menu for me. What's the menu for you guys? Let me know. Anyway, that is the show for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you, as always, for listening. We appreciate you tuning in, and we're really looking forward to football season coming up very, very, very shortly, in a matter of hours. So, my name is Cyrus Farmer. This is the Stomp the Tea Podcast. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy football. It's back. And as always, we will see you on the first tee.